read it. I know your teachers did a good job and taught you how to read, but I'm going to read some to you. And one is starting on Tuesday, we're going to start looking at the bad girls of the Bible. Sounds like fun, doesn't it? And that'll be on Tuesdays at noon in the Uptown Ministry Center. And then on Wednesday, there's a lunch and learn, and that will be Jan Bellard with the Southern Area on Aging. And the first topic is seeing how we can age in place at home. And it's a question we're all going to be involved with at some time. Whether you're a parent, a child, or a child of an adult parent, who knows? You're going to be involved with this kind of decision at some point. And the food bank is collecting fruit for the month of April. And the Rise Against Hunger initiative will be on the 28th at 9 o'clock. And I urge you to sign up. I believe there's probably a sign-up sheet outside the sanctuary. Sign up so that they'll know you're going to come to the party, so that you're going to come feed a lot of people. All right. Shall we prepare our hearts and minds for worship?
Behold, what manner of love our God has poured out upon us. Beloved, we are God's children now. But we know when Christ appears, we shall be like him.
For we shall see him as he is.
And those who have this hope in Christ are purified.
Even as Christ himself is pure.
Let us stand and greet our neighbor before we sing our hymn, please.
Thank you.
morning prayer, opening prayer. Gracious God, you made known the risen Christ in the taste of the bread he broke, the sound of his voice, the imprint of his wounds, the sight of his face, and the smell of breakfast cooking on the beach. Show us through all our senses the new life Christ brings to us this day, and lead us by your Spirit to welcome him with all our being, for the sake of the peace he came to give. Amen.
Let us continue in an attitude of prayer as we prepare to hear the scriptures read and expounded on. Holy and powerful God, as far as our comprehension is, as the grand design of your universe, we seek to know you through the poor vehicle of words and the presence of the Holy Spirit. As the scripture is read, may we go beyond hearing to doing. Grant that we may feel your presence, as did the followers who knew Jesus by touching his wounded hands. May we experience the fire within that sent them out to share the good news in word and deed. Amen. Our gospel lesson is from Luke chapter 24, verses 36 to 48. Now this follows the story of the walk to Emmaus. So the people that had been with Jesus on the walk to Emmaus had run back to Jerusalem and joined the disciples there. And so this is, Jesus is talking to the whole group. And it says, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. Jesus said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, Jesus said to them, "Have you anything to eat here?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to all of these things." This is the word of God for the people of God. Our hymn of preparation is number 273, "Jesus' Hands Were Kind Hands."
Thank you.
2 months ago, I had my knee replaced, so I've had to sit and ice and exercise and ice and walk around the block and ice. So I've had a lot of time to think. My mind has been wandering all over the place, and it's probably Lent and Easter, so that was kind of nice. It's a nice time in the church year. And for the last couple of weeks, I've been pondering on resurrection stories and knowing I was going to preach today. This one was, you know, right up there in the forefront of my brain. So I've been thinking about this gospel story. And one of the oddities of this resurrection story is the way Jesus identifies himself to his friends. Look at my hands and my feet, he says to his terrified, doubtful disciples. I think we can identify with the disciples here. This had never happened before, so they were scared to death. They are shaking in their sandals. They might have been wondering if this was a group hallucination. When he offers them 4 sure proofs that he is who they think he is. 2 hands, 2 feet, 10 fingers, 10 toes, which could belong to no one but Jesus. It is the wounds he wants them to see. But isn't that a peculiar way to identify himself? Why not say, listen to my voice? Or, look at my face. It hasn't changed that much. Or into my eyes. Well, naturally, I got to thinking about hands and feet during this reading. And for the most part, hands and feet are simply not the first thing we notice about each other. And yet they are very telling about who we are. Douglas Kandor understood that when he painted the official portrait of Eleanor Roosevelt. He portrayed her dynamism by using multiple images of her hands. The focal point of the portrait is Ms. Roosevelt writing. And then grouped around it are 3 different vignettes. 1, she is taking her rings off, preparing to do some hard work. And another pair, she's knitting. I think we always heard stories of her knitting to send to the soldiers. I don't know whether it was socks or bandages or scarves. I don't know, but she was always knitting. Okay, so they got her taking off her jewelry and knitting. And the 3rd, she's cleaning her glasses so she might see the world more clearly. Now, you nor I don't know Ms. Roosevelt, didn't know her personally. But now we know something about her. That she was thoughtful when she took off her jewelry, that she wanted to do something to make the world better, that she wanted to see the world clearly. We know something about her by looking at what her hands had done. Well, so I was thinking about hands and Eleanor Roosevelt, it wasn't a far jump to my mother's hands. I truly think she was the only woman in Christendom that mourned the day that dress gloves went out of fashion. You remember when we had gloves to match everything? Beige gloves, green gloves, black gloves, all kinds of gloves. My mother's hands were not beautiful, and she knew it, and she always wore gloves to cover them. You know that thin drawer that's in some dressers? That was my mother's glove drawer. She had gloves for every occasion and every outfit. Yet I loved her unlovely hands for all that they did. They made beautiful clothes. I was a teenager and 6 feet tall, and the dress of my era was called, I've forgotten, I just said it this morning, had little tucks down the front and a little collar, a villager dress. My mother made one that fit a 6-foot tall girl and didn't look funny. My mother did that. She made all my formal gowns. My mother did that with her very ugly hands. She planted gardens. That's part of the reasons her hands looked the way they did. But that was an envy of the neighborhood. She could grow anything. She had tomatoes, the 1st tomatoes and the last tomatoes of the summer. She had flowers. Her rose garden was well known. So she did wonderful things with her hands. She cooked delightful meals. And she wrote on chalkboards to teach 4th grade students the mysteries of science. Now you know a little bit about my mother and what she did. Now, I lived in San Francisco for a time, and I had a bout of the flu out there. And do you know what I wanted most in the world? It was not chicken soup. It was not any sherbet. It was my mother's hand on my fevered brow. I was sure, I was positive, I could have been healed if she were there, right there. And I know, to this day, I can identify my mother by her hands alone. They were unique and they were wonderful. Now, as we get to know each other in the congregation, pastor and congregants, one of the privileges is breaking the Eucharistic bread and putting it in your hand. And I got to know so much about my parishioners that way. And I don't know which hands I love the most. The ones that had some wear and tear on them, so that they had an idea of what the cost of this simple bread, this simple meal of bread and juice cost, or the little children's hands. You put them out there, and they said, taking it for granted, this is God's table, I'm God's child, give me my bread. I loved both. I loved all of them, all of the variety of hands. And what I do like about hands is they don't lie. They can't. We can usually exercise some control over our face so that when somebody looks at us, they see us the way we want them to see us, usually. Usually we can do that. But our hands give us away every time. There are nervous hands, clenched hands, damp hands, soiled hands. They all testify to who we are. Now, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, but don't go to sleep, okay? Because this is only a paragraph, so you just get to close your eyes for a little bit. And I want you to think of a pair of hands you know well. They can be your parents' hands when you were a child or when you were helping them get out of a chair or get into the car or go to the grocery store. Your partner's hand. Remember the joy the first time you held hands? Ooh, that was wonderful. Your partner's hands as you go through life. A child's hand who wraps their whole hand around your two fingers and holds on for dear life. So have you got this firmly in your mind's eye? What do these hands tell you? What are the marks on them? Is there a student bump where the pencil rests while you're writing? Are they paint spattered from various craft projects? Are they hard and calloused from doing manual labor? Are they soft and smooth from doing less physically demanding tasks? How would Douglas Chandor paint your person's portrait? Would you know that person anywhere by their hands? Think about it. You know them anywhere by their hands. You can open your eyes now. Jesus said, look at my hands and my feet. And when the disciples did, they saw everything he had ever been to them. They saw the hands that had broken bread and blessed broiled fish. They saw hands that had reached out to the leper without holding back. They saw hands that pressed pads of mud against a blind man's eyes. And they saw hands that took a dead girl by the hand so she could rise and walk. They saw hands that danced through the air while he was teaching or wrote in the sand when he made a point and gave time for reflection. Hands that drove the money changers out of the temple. Those were all the things that Jesus' hands did. His hands washing the disciples' feet. That's what they saw. And his feet. The ones that had carried him hundreds of miles, taking the good news to all who were starving for it. In the homes of criminals and corrupt bureaucrats, who Jesus treated as if they were long-lost kin. into the graveyard where the Gerasene demoniac lived like a wild dog among the dead, whom Jesus freed from his devils forever. Looking at those feet, they remembered the woman who had washed them with her tears and dried them with her hair. They remembered Mary sitting quietly protected by Jesus, while Martha railed at her to get up and work to do something. These hands and feet were wounded now, all four of them. The hands that had joined Jesus with others and the feet that had joined him to the earth, they had gaping holes in them, sore, angry bruises that hurt the disciples to look at. But they had to look because they had fled the cross earlier. They didn't know what had happened. Look, Jesus said to them, when the danger was past, you can look at them now. He wanted them to know he had gone through the danger and not around it. So he told them not to look at his face, not into his eyes, but at his hands and feet, which told the truth about what had happened to him, which was the only proof he had that he was who he said he was. Now, some of us wish Jesus had come back all cleaned up and sparkling, but he didn't. He came back with something we could recognize him by, his hands and his feet, just like ours. So you know what his hands and feet said about Jesus. What do our hands and feet say about us? Where have they been? Who have they touched? How have they served? What have they proclaimed? Jesus' parting words as he entrusted the disciples with the care of the world were, "You are witnesses to these things we have done." Those words echo across the centuries to us. We are witnesses because we have the scripture. And when the world looks around for the risen Christ, when they want to know what it means, it's us that they look at. The Church Universal and First United Methodist Church. It's not our pretty faces and not our sincere eyes, but at our hands and our feet. What have we done with them? Where have we gone with them? We are witnesses to all of these things because we are the body of Christ for the world. Amen. confirmation of faith. Since we have some of them down here, let's just stay seated for that. Stand in your mind, okay, but not with your knees. Got it? Okay, our affirmation of faith is 883. It's from the Canadian Church. All right, this is all unison, so you join me right now. We are not alone.
We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and who is living, who has come to Jesus, who were made in the flesh, who has reconciled and made new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and to resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Now the ushers will come forward. Wonderful and amazing God, we thank you that you have raised Jesus Christ from the dead, bringing us the promise of new life. With the dawning of this day, may we awake to new opportunities to love and serve you and witness to Christ whom you have raised. Use us and use our gifts to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. teach and challenge us to be the best we can be. You delight in us and offer us all that you have. Open our minds that we may hear what Jesus is telling us. Open our hearts to hear what the Spirit is saying. Help us discover and embrace the new possibilities that you lay before us. Inspire us to be the hands and feet of Jesus on earth, that we may do your work as Christ's body, here and now. Let us begin our work as we pray for each other. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers
for the people of this congregation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Those who suffer and those in trouble. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
The concerns of this local community. Peoples and its leaders.
President Trump.
The people of Syria. Lord, in your mercy. The Church Universal, its leaders, its members, its mission. Bishop Lewis, Janine Howard, Keith Ritchie, and the Commission on the Way Forward. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
As we join the communion of saints in praying the prayer that our Lord taught us, our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Remember, don't lose your bulletin. It's responsive benediction.